This meeting is now being recorded.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining. This is Jordan Buchanan, and I'm chairing the latest edition of our Competition and Consumer Choice subteam of the CCTRT. I have not published an agenda for today's call. apologies in advance for that. Or apologies in real time for that. The things I had hoped to do was briefly review the project list that Aliza had circulated, and in particular focused on any places where we still needed project definition. I'm operating under the assumption that things that still need project definition at this point we're likely not going to pursue, and we'll just finish up the rest. In addition to that, there's been some discussion of a couple of data sources that I'd like to just try to see if we can hash out in real time on today's call, because I think that will allow us to figure out which data sources we're going to use or an approach to doing so, particularly for CCTLD data. But there's also, I think, going to be some discussion about, for example, PARC data arising from the call today. So that's what I had intended to pursue on today's call. Is there any other, are there other topics that people would like to discuss? Okay.
Sure. This is Aliza. Do you want to try? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Aliza.
Thanks. I just wanted to point out that I invited Greg and Stacy from Analysis Group to this call to talk about the projects that Stan had sort of assigned to them or assumed that they would be taking over. They had a couple of questions about the approaches in those projects. So I thought you could maybe give them a few minutes to go over those too.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. What I intend to do is just step through the spreadsheet that you put together, see if we think it's actionable, and if so, who we think could action it. And so if we think Analysis Group is the right choice, then it's great to have them on the call to talk through that.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. So why don't we jump right into the project list in that case. I'm looking at the Google Doc version. It looks like it's being projected as well. I've this morning added a little bit to the Google Doc, so that's probably the most useful document to look at if you can, but the online version, I mean the offline version probably has 90% of what we need. So jumping right in row three, we see the first project, and this is to compare the pre and post prices in the string in the market. So I think Jonathan's described what we want to do here, but the main problem with this is that we still need a data source from CETO. Is that, we don't have any of this aftermarket data, correct, Aliza?
Sorry. Yeah, that's right. We don't have that data.
Okay. So why don't we we'll need to flag as an action item here an attempt to we don't need to limit ourselves to CETO, obviously. I think there's a few aftermarket players. I think GoDaddy's operates has acquired some of the other options in the realm as well. But Aliza, why don't we take as an action item? I know people at both GoDaddy and CETO, so why don't we coordinate on figuring out, getting out a request to these folks, and we'll decide whether we want to. Jonathan's not on the call, I guess, today due to a plane flight, but we'll decide whether it makes sense for it to be sent from Jonathan or from me or from staff.
Okay.
That seems to be the next thing we need to do there. Row four is looking to see if there's a price difference between single string registry operators and multiple string registry operators. I'm going to hold off on row four actually for a minute until we talk about price analysis in row 7. And then I think row 4 is just a variant on that. So could we actually I'll do it in the Google Doc. Oh, these are numbered, so it's going to make the numbering weird. All right, actually, let's just come back. Can you help me remember to come back to row 4, Aliza?
Sure.
All right. Row 5, basic market share calculations. Stan has defined these calculations in some depth. I think we've agreed that these are actionable at this point. We know what we need to do, with the exception that I don't think we've agreed yet on the canonical source that we'll use for CCTLD data. But hypothesizing for a moment that we agree on a canonical source for CCTLD data, this seems actionable. And this is just a simple calculation of number of registrants. So I'm going to actually clarify terminology here. I think we mean number of domains. I think we've agreed on that in the past. Is that right, Stan, that we mean the number of second-level domains registered, not the number of individuals registered?
Correct.
All right. So we can do a global search and replace in E5 and just change this to number of domains instead of number of registrants. So, Aliza, this seems like it could be computed fairly straightforwardly once we have the data by either staff or analysis group. Do you have a thought on what the best party to do this would be?
Not really. I mean, I agree that we can do it either way. It kind of depends on how many different variations if these are just snapshot in time numbers or if you want to look at historical numbers. Greg, maybe you can touch on, because you've already done some of this in your report and are planning on doing some of this in your report. Could you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think as you mentioned, Jordan, this is all doable with data that already exists, except for potentially the CCTLD registration, which I think we would need some help on. I think that using the monthly transaction reports, whether it's historical or just a snapshot in time, these would be relatively straightforward calculations to undertake.
So I think as Stan envisions it, this is either sort of current-ish for some definition of current, probably dictated by what the most current CCTLD data that we can get is, or there's not necessarily a snapshot in time, but there's a delta from sort of pick a date when we decide that the GTLD program begins, perhaps when .shabaka opens for registration or something like that. From that date until our present, look at what the delta looks like. But I don't think there's a notion of looking at snapshots along the way other than that. I guess you guys, to a certain extent, may have computed something similar to this in the phase 1 report, which would give us at least a snapshot there.
That's correct. And it would be relatively easy to go back in time using the monthly transaction reports to calculate deltas at different points in time if that was kind of deemed to be of interest.
Yeah, I think the goal here is just to see what the current market share is and then what share of the growth new GTLDs have been responsible for. And so we don't need snapshots in order to figure that out unless we, for some reason, wanted to create a graph to see how it was changing over time. Stan, do you have thoughts on whether you were looking for any other than this delta from the start, whether you were looking for snapshots along the way?
No, just a one. My view is just a one-time change. That is before and after.
Right. So Greg, it sounds like if you're already planning on doing some or most of this in your report, it may make sense just to incorporate all these calculations into the report, since I think there's only a total of like 8 total calculations here. So we just need to agree on the CCTLD data, I think, which we'll get to in the second part of this call.
Jordan, I just had one quick follow-up question, which is on the open CCTLDs, which are, I think, kind of begin to show up towards the end of this set of calculations. Is that something that the CCT review team was thinking about, kind of determining whether a CCTLD was open or not, or was there some kind of other third-party source that you were planning on relying on, or something else?
So that's a good point. We should flag that as an action item as well here, is to define what we mean by that. And I think we mean by that not necessarily open, but generic. Like, these are the CCTLDs that market themselves essentially globally as opposed to for a specific market. Even so, for example, I think, you know, many CCTLDs might be not necessarily be restricted to registrants in that country, but they still might market themselves and be primarily used by registrants in that country, whereas like .co or .me actively market themselves elsewhere. Somewhat fine distinction to make, unfortunately. But let's flag that as an action that we'll need to resolve. There is one data source, not to point at what my own company, my own employer does, but Google Search at least has a list of TLDs that it treats as international as opposed to, as sort of global as opposed to located on a specific TLD. So might be one possibility just to use that list. And I'll circulate that to the list afterwards, and we can decide if it looks reasonable or not. All right, any further discussion here? It sounds like we need to, A, agree on the CCTLD list, and, B, decide what we think by these open CCTLDs. Otherwise, analysis group can probably include this in the Phase 2 report to the extent it wasn't already included in the Phase 1. All right, moving on to row 6 then. This is registry market share analysis. And this is just doing three calculations for, which is 4-firm, 8-firm concentration ratios and HHIs, with various definitions of market for these, using, for example, all the new GTLD registries of the market, all GTLD registries of the market, and looking at registrars and back-end providers as well. Once again, I think this is pretty well defined already. And this data should already be available. Lisa or Greg, do we think that the data necessary to compute this is already collected?
That's correct. I would anticipate just using the monthly transaction reports that ICANN's already provided to us.
Right, and presumably for back-end providers, you somehow have to overlay that on the data that ICANN already has, sort of mapping stuff to back-end providers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So we will need a little bit of guidance there.
Eliza, you have in your giant chart of all the TLDs, you map to back-end provider though, right?
That's right, and I provided that to analysis group yesterday.
Okay. So once again, I guess the question here is, these are economic, even though they're simple calculations, I expect it would probably be best done by economists as opposed to ICANN staff people just to make sure that they're done correctly. So this, I would opine, would make sense for analysis group to do. So I guess the question is, do we think this is in scope for the Phase 2 report or reasonable, or does this seem like add-on work that we would have to figure out how to contract with ICANN, or is there some reason we think analysis group shouldn't be doing this?
So, Jordan, actually, Greg, Stacey, and I had a conversation about this yesterday, and some of this work from this whole list does kind of apply to the work they're already doing on Phase 2 and that which does not, which might be adding to some other scope of work. I'll work with them on making sure we can add that to their scope and their contract.
Okay. Fantastic. But in any case, it sounds like we think that analysis group should be able to do this, and we'll target them to complete it.
Yeah, Jordan, the only thing I would add is I think we're happy to calculate the HHIs and can relatively easily do so, but I think it's something that we probably would not want to include in the phase 2 report, but we could, of course, kind of provide you with the underlying data, the calculations, and then the kind of the actual estimates or the results from those calculations.
Yeah, that's fine, I think. Stan, does that sound good to you?
Yes.
All right. Then let's jump to number 7, which is GTLD price analysis. So the first of these is probably the trickiest, which is the percentage change in the price of each legacy GTLD price. I think we established, does ICANN have this information? Does ICANN have legacy TLD pricing information?
We do not.
Right. So this is the main trick, is that we don't have this data necessarily. ICANN does have does ICANN have the price cap data?
Yes, we do. And we've shared that with analysis group.
Okay. And I guess my last question is, did we attempt to obtain price data from legacy TLDs as part of the analysis group reports?
Greg, you want to take that one?
Yeah, so actually, Aliza, I'm a little confused, because I thought we did end up collecting wholesale price data from the legacy TLDs. And then you provided kind of the price cap information as well.
That's right. What I meant was that ICANN doesn't have access to that data.
Oh, okay. So analysis.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, we should be more precise, I guess. Okay. So it sounds like analysis group does have both the price cap data as well as the wholesale prices from the legacy TLDs.
That's correct.
Right. So, and how far back does your wholesale price data go for legacy TLDs?
I would have to double check, but I believe that it comes close to going back to when a given TLD came into the market, although I don't think that's always the case. So we can confirm and kind of get back to you, Jordan. But it goes back for a reasonably long length of time.
Okay, so we could probably look to see what the sort of rate of change was for the 3 years prior to the introduction of new GTLDs and then the 3 years after or something like that.
Yeah, at least for some of the legacy TLDs. And I think in particular, you know, .com is one of the ones that we have better historical data on.
I actually have a quick question. It would be useful to have whatever price data we have for the legacy GTLDs for the same date prior to the introduction of the new GTLDs, and then do a before and after comparison.
No, that's a good point, Dan. I agree.
Thanks. I see Kylie's got his hand up, too. Sorry, I'm trying to look at this spreadsheet. I'm having a hard time also looking at the Adobe Connect, so if you feel free to just jump in if you have a question. Kylie?
Okay, yes. Thank you. Yeah, I hate to look like rocking the boat, but right now, as we are going to collect data and do a lot of calculation, which is a lot of work and pretty costly, I would like to ask again about market segmentation or segmentation, or here we say grouping of data. For example, during last time, in Washington's D.C.'s face-to-face meeting, I don't think we have concluded what would be the criteria of grouping or segmenting the market. For example, as augmented the analysis group's list in the housing segment, well, I don't believe that the rental is a substitute of sales, saving of a house. And also, as an example, say Coke, Cola versus Sprite. Well, that to some people that is quite a substitute against each other. However, that is really subjective. For example, some people do not want to have caffeine, while others they want Coke instead of Sprite because they do want caffeine to help keep them not asleep. So therefore, I wonder if analysis group, the data collection and all the calculation following would, how would the analysis AG segment market? I think last time, the first time when analysis group presented their segments, I also raised the question, say, for help or help. Say, I wouldn't believe that gardening is a substitute of swimming. So anyway, I don't want to rock the boat, but I really don't quite understand or don't even see how this calculation and collection of data could work before the market is clearly defined in order to calculate the competition involved. So that is my question that maybe some others understand, but I do not feel quite understand how this could work. Thank you.
Thanks, Kylie. Yeah, for the purpose
that analysis group can provide an answer to me. Thank you.
So I think for the purpose of all the discussions we've had so far, in these project stands identified, there's not further segmentation beyond what's listed in the doc. So, for example, we would look at all the calculation for all new GTLD registries and then all new GTLDs plus all legacy, for example. There's not an attempt to segment into subcategories or sub-markets or markets in any of the projects so far.
So,
in theory, as we look in like row 8, for example, it might make sense to think about the segmentation efforts. But actually, for today's purposes, I want to distinguish between what the computation should be and who's going to do them and whether it's well-defined enough, and then what the market segments could be, because we can have a separate conversation to get to agreement on what those segments should be. But for the purpose of today, it's just like what the calculations would look like.
But, if I understand correctly, that do you mean that we're not going to segment the market at all?
For the purposes of some of the calculations that we're doing at the moment, there won't be segmentation at all. It's not saying that we're not going to do any segmentation, but the initial project definitions don't that we've discussed so far don't include that. And to the extent that we do identify places where we'd like to do market segmentation, for today's conversation, I'd like to separate what the segmentation looks like versus what the project would be once we agree upon the segmentation.
Okay, because I don't know if we are looking at the same page or not, but on my screen, for example, the bottom line of page 1, that is 1.1.6, here clearly says registry market segmentation analysis, and the last line is correlation.
That's right, Kylie, but we haven't discussed that project yet. So we'll potentially get there. And like I said, I want to separate out.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. But when we do get there, I think we're going to assume for the moment that we have a useful segmentation.
Okay.
And then we'll have a separate discussion about what that segmentation should be. All right.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you.
All right. So back to row 7 or project 1.5. All right. So Greg, it sounds like you can compute the – it sounds like only analysis group can do any of this price these price analyses because only analysis group has access to this data. Is that a fair statement, Aliza?
That's correct.
All right, so we would have to rely on analysis group to do this price change analysis. And so in addition to the look at the price change, I think Stan's identified two other projects, which is mean, median, top quartile, bottom quartile prices and new GTLD registries. And then the last one is just mean price of new GTLD registries minus the mean price of legacy GTLD registries. And that might be a good example of one where we potentially want to do it across market segments once we had agreed upon what those segments were, I would think. Does that sound useful, Stan, if we were to, say, look at individual market definitions that we had agreed, or segmentation definitions that we had agreed upon, and see what the price dynamics were within each?
Actually, I had actually thought of this as a simpler calculation, but we certainly can think about what you're proposing.
Right. You're in your initial project, you had just proposed doing it for all new minus all legacy. Is that right?
Correct.
But in theory, we could extend that project into individual market segments that include both legacy and new GTLDs.
Sounds trickier, but possible.
Sure. That assumes that analysis group has the pricing data for each of those segment definitions, which may or may not be true.
Jordan, if the prices are in, if the TLDs are in our sample that we collected data for, then we'll have the wholesale pricing data, and then if they are not, we unfortunately will not.
Right. And you guys, for the topical segmentation that you guys proposed, you made sure to request that from all of those TLDs. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Greg, how many TLDs do you have the wholesale price data for?
Right now we have a little over 160.
And we have requests out for more?
So actually, I should say we requested for 160. I'd have to go back and double check how many we actually ended up getting pricing data for. That's the full set with the kind of the additional set of TLDs that we added in for the phase two work.
Great. Thank you.
All right. And Greg, are these projects well defined enough that you guys, you feel like you could complete these?
Yeah, that's correct. They are well defined enough.
Okay, great. Line 8, 1.6.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, Kylie.
Hello. Yeah, I have another question. Talk about registry pricing. Okay. I think in the emails that we exchanged, I think I recall there was at least one was saying that there are some registries somewhere in, I don't know, some small island or something, that they are just basically giving them away for free. Do we count that price as zero? So we count that price as zero.
That's Tokelau. That's .tk. I don't think analysis group would have that price because I don't think there's – Greg, you haven't made any attempt to get CCTLD pricing data. Is that right?
We sent requests to some CCTLDs and, by and large, received exactly no information from CCTLDs.
All right. So as of now, at least, we don't have wholesale pricing data for CCTLDs. It is known, Kylie, that .tk has a wholesale price of zero, but it's not included in any data set that we have.
Actually, we have a small amount of CCTLD pricing data. It's in, I think it's the Asia-Pacific organization. It's listed in the inventory that I circulated a day or two ago, but it's a very small number.
Okay, thanks, Stan.
If I remember correctly, I thought that by giving away for free that enormously boosted the registration volume. And so I don't know, because speculation is a very serious issue for this new, for the new GTLD. For example, in China, China has more than half of the registrations, and it is widely believed that the mass majority will more than, well beyond 90% are purely for speculation. And although the wholesale price is extremely cheap, less than a dollar, but then because of speculation, of course, here we're talking about the registry pricing. Are we talking about, is that what we mean by wholesale price, or what?
Yeah, so once again, this is the .ck example in particular is a CC TLD, so the dynamics work a little bit different there. I think that registry actually takes direct registration, so there's not a registrar layer involved. So the retail and the wholesale price are actually identical in that case.
But
which is a
what in China is happening, it is not just CC TLDs, but a lot in the new GTLDs.
Yeah, I understand, Kylie. I'm just saying, in the case of the free domains, that was a CCTLD. That was .tk. Like you said, it was
that
island.
Is for free domain, right? But then, if we call about consider the GTLD, well, I cannot remember correctly. I do not remember clearly enough, but I suspect there were some reports about doing things similar to giving for free, but I'm not sure. But anyway, what I wanted to say is that we really need to caution about wide large-scale speculation distorting the pricing data.
Yeah, so I think Stan has actually proposed, and this is actually not reflected in the chart, and so maybe this is a good topic to talk about, is to try to look at do all these calculations on parked versus non-parked domains as well. And Stan, you imagine doing, I think in theory you would like it if we could do essentially all the projects you've described so far on one version on total and one version just on non-parked, is that right?
That's correct. I think the problem we have there is that I only know of one source of the parking data, and that's NTLD stats. But yes, in general, you're correct. If we could do it with and without, then it would be two alternative ways of defining shares.
Right. I guess I think I know the answer to that.
That is going to be that is going to be part of the work that analysis group is going to do, isn't it?
Well, so that was the question I was about to ask. Greg, I don't think you guys, do you guys have any data on parked versus non-parked?
I would have to double check, but I don't believe so. I'll take a look at the monthly transaction reports again to see what's contained in there, but I don't think it's possible using those, but we can check and then get back to the CCT review team.
Greg, you've looked at the NTLD stats data. There, it's actually very extensive.
I agree.
And so one could, in principle, do this for a subset of the data.
No, that's right.
Yeah. All right. So we'll have to. I think that's something we'll have to flag as a discussion point. How we would do that analysis, especially where we want to do it. For anything other than the new GTLDs, because we don't, the NTLD stats data doesn't extend outside the new GTLDs. So we only have 24 minutes left. I'm going to try to run through the rest of the project list pretty quickly, because I do want to talk about data things for at least the last 15 minutes or so. In the line 8, which is topic 1.6, this is some of the segmentation. So I'm going to assume for the purposes of this discussion that we've agreed upon segmentation lists, which I know we haven't done yet. But we'll revisit that topic probably on our next call and offline in the meantime. So Stan's projects here are roughly to do the table 12 from the phase 1 report with the additional segments and with the added request that we calculate HHI for each group. And I think, Greg, we're proposing to come up with a set of market segments, one set of which is roughly modeled on the groupings that you did. Stan proposed a few changes to those, but then we also came up with some sort of notion of geographic and language-based segments as well. Presuming we're just doing this on market share, it seems like, once again, you guys would have the data to do this just using different sets of TLDs. Is that correct?
That is correct. We just wouldn't be able to look at, for example, the correlation between prices and HHIs, because we won't have the pricing data for some of the TLDs that Stan added in, since we didn't request it.
Sure. And Stan's not proposing. Are you, Stan? Are you proposing to look at? Oh yeah, you are. This is the last request here, is to calculate the price versus the HHI. So we'll have to see where that's feasible.
If we could do it, that would be good to do. But there are obviously data problems.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Then moving down to line 10, which is now we're looking at non-price competition. And this is the first one of these is Stan's proposed a project to sort of figure out how registrants have switched. This requires responses from the Nielsen Group survey. Elisa, have you had a chance to look? Do we think all of these Stan's questions are covered by the survey?
Yeah, I did take a look, and I think for the most part they are covered. I don't think there was anything that I didn't think would be in there.
All right, great. So I'm going to we'll push that off until we get the survey back. And then, Elisa, on row 11, you were going to speak to, you were going to take a look at what staff might be able to do to understand what policies look like. Have you had a chance to work through that yet, or is this something for a future call?
No, I have some notes in here. So I talked to my teammates and looked at what we could do and what's feasible. What I would suggest doing is looking at a chunk of registries, so maybe the top 30 by registration, something like that. And looking for different types of policies, and there's a few projects in here that relate to credit policies. So see if they had a use policy, a privacy policy, and so on and so forth. And doing kind of a simple spreadsheet that one says yes or no, do they have it? But then also includes some kind of keywords so you could see what the differences are in each policy on how restrictive they are. You know, for example, do you have to prove you live in New York City to get a .NYC address, that type of thing. So that would be my suggestion. I think trying to do this across 1,000-plus registries is just kind of untenable and extremely difficult. Not difficult, but extremely time-consuming, and I'm not sure that you would end up with a result that would be particularly useful. So that's my suggestion.
Thanks, Elisa. So it sounds like if we were going to do this, so you're proposing roughly that we sample some subset of TLDs and that we look, and I understand that then we create this spreadsheet based on sort of manual evaluation. Is that right?
That would be right, yeah.
So in order, if we were to do this, we would have to do two things. Number one would be to figure out what the sample should look like, and number two, define what the characteristics of that spreadsheet would be, like what policy elements we would be looking for.
Exactly.
All right, so it sounds like if we agreed that this would probably be useful. That's going to take some work on both fronts. Dan, I think you were particularly interested in doing this. Would you, anyone else can obviously volunteer as well, but Dan, I was wondering, would you be willing to help sort of take the lead with staff in defining what this project should look like?
Yeah, sure. I'll do it. I'll definitely.
All right, and if anyone else is interested in working on that, let Dan know, and he can join you into the efforts. But Aliza, maybe you can, you and Dan can work together to, or whoever on staff and Dan can work together to figure out what that should look like.
Sure thing.
Okay, 2.5, which is row 14. I published a link to a donuts blog that. Defines this project generally, but Donuts has claimed that 60% of their registrations was the equivalent string was available in .com. So if you registered, they have the example of they use the URL donuts.domain. So donutsdomains.com would have been available at the time of registration. In theory, so they've done that for the Donuts TLDs. In theory. This could be done across other new TLDs as well to see whether the .com was available. And then we could also extend that to other TLDs other than .com. I guess there's a data question here, which is, do we, Aliza, have lists of domains by TLD somewhere? I guess we must because you guys do the intersection of like which domains are registered across multiple TLDs, right?
You're asking like the actual string.
Yeah, do you know what the list of SLDs that are registered in a particular TLD?
Yes, I don't know that. Yes, you do. We have a metric that we were tracking that has to do with names that are registered, whether a name registered in a new G is represented anywhere else in the DNS. So we were able to compare. Unique second-level string. So I know the source is there. That's kind of the calculation we did as a proportion, but that was the data.
Right. So I proposed a slightly different lookup, which is for each TLD within for each SLD within a new TLD, is the TLD plus SLD combination in .com available? Does that make sense?
Just .com. Yeah.
For the moment, just .com.
Okay.
Can you maybe check with the team to see whether that's, like, you guys actually have a way to do that? Presumably, if you guys have the data source, it would make sense for ICANN to do that analysis.
Yeah, that would be our technical team. They've been doing those calculations, and I will check and ask them that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Row 15 is the dispute resolution policy, URS versus UDRP. I think Dan's added a little context here. CMCH and URS.
Yeah, I had some.
And Dan, what's your proposal? Like, how do we, is this just a question that we're asking as part of the, as like a qualitative question to registrants, or are we looking for specific data here?
Yeah, it's generally a question to registrants, how they are satisfied with previous mechanism, right protection mechanism, and how they are satisfied now with trademark clearing house and URS system.
Right. So it seems like this might make sense to cover as part of either the INTA survey or the it sounds like it wasn't going to be covered in the TMCH review. Karen's on the call, I don't think, but do we know, does the TMCH review have any sort of like customer satisfaction metrics associated with it?
Antonietta is on the call. Antonietta, can you answer that?
Something that is covered in the campus review, but this might be something that the clearinghouse provider may be able to provide us with.
All right, so it would be good to look and see if that's available. Otherwise, it seems like this might be a good question for the INTA survey that David Taylor's looking at, since that's largely targeted at trademark holders. So let's see what we find out from the TMC review. And in any case, Aliza, is it just David? Are you working with David? Who's working with David on the INTA survey?
We haven't quite worked directly with David on it. We've been working directly with INTA on this. Raise the question.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So we have 13 minutes left and a bunch more topics. I think most of the rest of the things are assigned to me. So maybe Aliza and I could have an offline conversation about the definition of those things. The one exception to that is line 21, which is greater regulation and segmentation more valuable to the consumer as a user and less to the registrar and vice versa? And we have Megan's name next to this, but no project definition. Megan, have you had any time to give thought to how we might get at this? Megan. All right, so Megan hasn't had a chance to look at this yet. Let's consider until we can figure out how we might tackle this that we may not be able to perform this project. But Megan, if you can think of anything in the near future, we may be able to add it. I want to spend the last 11 minutes that we have here segueing for a moment to talk about data sources. There's two important data sources that I think we need to talk through and get agreement upon what we're going to use or how we're going to approach it. The first is CCTLD volume data. So Dan set around a super helpful map/chart with CCTLD registrations as of a couple months ago. Similarly, I think Stan identified that VeriSign in their periodic State of the Domains report, I think that's what it's called, also includes a CCTLD registration number and includes sort of the top 10 CCTLDs, but no data beyond that. So far we don't have historical data. We could go back for the VeriSign data back in time and get total number of CCTLDs from the inception of the program. On the Zook data, we don't have any historical data. So it seems like in either case, we may have to approach the data source and ask them if we can get some additional data to what they published publicly. I guess my question for the group is, do we have a preference on, would we rather try to go ask the Zook people if they can give us a 3 years ago snapshot? Would you rather ask VeriSign to give us a bigger breakout? Should we do both in parallel? Does anyone have an opinion on this? I have an opinion, but I'll wait to see if anyone else has thoughts on this. And Aliza, have you prior to seeing Dan's chart, have you seen any of the Zook stats?
No, I mean I've seen various references to those Zooknik stuff, but this is probably the best and most comprehensive list I've ever seen.
Right. So I would suggest, just because VeriSign is an interested party in these discussions, that it would be ideal if we could get more of a third-party data set. And so what I was going to suggest is that we reach out to the Zook people and ask if they can provide us with a snapshot. Stan, I think the only thing we need is a snapshot sort of at the inception of the GTLD program. Is there any other ccTLD data that we think we're missing at this point?
No, it's the same as what we discussed earlier. I actually have a preference. I mean, I think one thing this conversation suggests is that we probably are going to give up on approaching regional ccTLD organizations and try to get all the data from one source, which I think is a good idea. And we may have to pay for it, but I suspect these people seem to have it. When they only publish 10, the top 10, they undoubtedly have data for the bottom 190. So one source, I think, is the best way to go.
Yeah, agreed. I think we want to agree on a canonical source so we're comparing the same thing over time. Elisa, maybe offline you and Jonathan and I can talk about how we can reach out to the Zook people and see if we can get the same data set for, I don't know, we'll choose a point in time. And maybe we can sync up with Greg, too, and figure out what we're going to consider the inception of the GTLD program for the purposes of these calculations.
Okay.
I would propose, as a straw man, what do folks think about using if we can figure it out, whatever the first day that Dutch Shabaka, which I think was the first new GTLD to launch, started accepting general availability registrations, that should be considered the start of the new GTLD program for timing purposes, or we may have to round to the nearest quarter in one direction or the other, but roughly that date. Does that sound right to folks?
Yes.
Stan says yes.
Yes.
So far, no.
Yes.
Okay, great. So we'll use that date. I think I can, Alicia, if you don't know that already, I think I can track it down.
I should be able to find it, too.
Okay, great. Let me know if you have any problems with that. The second data source is one that we've started talking about, which I flagged in a couple of the projects that I was looking at, which is this notion of park data and or redirects and or how domains are being used. And for this, it seems like the best source that we've seen, as Stan pointed out earlier in the call, is NTLD stats. But it only covers new GTLDs. So, Elisa, I was wondering if it might make sense, or let's see what the group thinks. Should we reach out to NTLD stats and see whether they would be willing, once again, we may have to pay them for this, to perform the same parking analysis that they do on new GTLDs on a broader universe of domains, including the legacy TLDs and ccTLDs?
I'm fine with reaching out to them. I guess my only question would be that we get a clear answer on how they're actually calculating this. What's their methodology for determining parking?
Yeah, that, I think that makes sense. So maybe we could do two things. We could ask them if they're willing to do it, and if so, have them come brief us on the next call.
Okay.
I agree with Elisa. We should probably get them to actually, if we use them as a source, to get them to write up their a description of how they do it so that we can include it in our report.
Yeah, that makes sense, Dan. So we could do both of those things. We have them write it down, and then we could also have them come talk to us so we understand how to interpret the data, too.
Sure.
All right, so Elisa, let's add that to the action that you and Jonathan and I need to talk about how we're going to reach out to them as well.
Okay.
All right, we have 5 minutes left. I don't see any other projects that, actually there's one other project with Stan's name next to it on the list, so I'm going to jump back to that really quickly, which is row 32, which is trademark registrations across GTLDs. And so this, Stan, this is the new project you've proposed since Washington, is that right?
It was actually assigned to me in Washington.
Right, so that's why it's happened since Washington.
I don't want to think I volunteered.
Sure. So
by the way, this is a replication with more domains, more TLDs than a number of studies previously carried out. And there, if you want the source, there's a description of all, or references to all of them in footnote 12 of my project memo. But basically, the earlier studies did things like how many trademarks that were in .com were also in .biz. Okay. Now, of course, we have a lot more new TLDs, so the analysis is more extensive. But it's basically a replication of what has previously been done.
Right. That makes sense. Once again, Aliza, this feels like something that if ICANN has the data on what SLDs are registered in what domains, it would be good to ask your tech folks if they could do this analysis as well. We would probably have to provide them with a list of trademarks we wanted them to check, but assuming that we could provide them with a list, could they see, and it sounds like they're already doing this to some extent, for each trademark, what fraction of TLDs are they registered in, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, if you provide us with a string, we can certainly do that. I guess the question is how many do you want to look at, and we'll go from there.
All right, so it sounds like the main problem here would be figuring out the list of trademarks that we would like to use as a sample.
My recollection is that the previous studies used about 1,000 trademarks.
Okay. And Stan, do you remember those, like there's top 1,000 brand lists? We could probably use something like that.
They don't give a list of the trademarks they used, but they describe how they constructed the list.
All right. So we could look at that separately. But it sounds like that's doable by ICANN if we can. We just need to come up with a list. So let's make an action item. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Jordan. This is Greg. I don't know how much cross-fertilization there can or should be between AG's TMCH work, but this is something that we have some of the data that would allow you to do this, in particular the list of trademark strings from the TMCH. So I will leave it there.
Yeah, I guess the question is – go ahead, Aliza.
I was going to ask Greg to speak up on this because – I don't know the details of the TMCH review, but Greg and his team are working on that as well. And there may be, I wasn't sure if this was an exercise you've already undertaken. So I kind of don't want to reinvent the wheel, as it were.
So what I was going to say is, it would be good to understand how this intersects with the TMCH review. I wouldn't want to limit the list of trademarks that we were investigating to those in the TMCH. And in fact, it might be instructive to compare what happens to a string, whether it's in or not in the TMCH, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you might say, here's 1,000 brands of the ones that were in the TMCH. They were registered on average in 48 TLDs, and the ones that weren't in the TMCH were registered in 300 TLDs or something like that. That might be interesting to see the difference. So it would be good to understand how this intersects, so maybe we could plan for some discussion like that on our next call. We're out of time. Speaking of our next call, that intersects with the Helsinki ICANN meeting, and I think at least some of us are going to be in Helsinki. There was discussion on a separate Nielsen call yesterday to not hold sub-team meetings during the Helsinki meeting, which I think probably sounds right. It would be hard to get participation from everyone, including myself. However, I'm not sure we want to go a month without a sub-team call. So what I may propose is that we do a call in 3 weeks and another one in 4 weeks to keep up progress. Or Megan says, can we meet briefly and unofficially in Helsinki? That's also possible, Megan. Why don't I let's take this discussion to the list and see what we can arrange in terms of a next meeting. All right, and with that, we're out of time, and hopefully made some progress on actually getting some of these projects actioned. And Aliza, we'll have to spend some time talking through how that's going to happen But I'm hoping we'll start to see some of this work actually getting done over the next few weeks.
I'll follow up with you on that today, Jordan.
Perfect. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.